Amen. Thank you, Dan, for a wonderful song service to this point. And I want to echo Jim's sentiments, and it is great to see so many people here. It is great to see familiar faces. It's great to have visitors with us this morning. And I just I'm always amazed and humbled that God will see fit to use me again in this capacity. But as we begin the lesson this morning, I appreciate men like Jim, who a part of the community, a part of this congregation since the beginning. And when I came here, many people made me feel very comfortable and welcomed. My wife and I just celebrated 2 years of ministry here at Highland Hills and had an anniversary. Like Jim said, on a birthday, everybody's excited on the birthday. On an anniversary, it only affects those people involved. And so on my anniversary here, I don't know how many people were excited about that other than me, but I remember Jim, he was very accommodating and cordial and very hospitable to me and my family, made us feel real comfortable. And then I see Dwayne Blaylock, who comes up to lead our prayer and devotion over our communion, and him and his family are relatively new to Tullahoma, just a little bit longer than we've been here. And Dwayne is he manages the hospital and oversees that, and that's a very stressful job. And just like me, I know that Jim had spent a great deal of time and effort in helping him to be acclimated to Tullahoma and really feel welcome. And I remember specifically, there was one time when Dwayne was just really stressed out and just at his, he was just working all the time and traveling a lot and just completely, stressed out with his job. And I know that, and Jim noticed this from, our fellowship here, and he went to him and he said, Dwayne, we just need to get away. We're just going to, I tell you, I'll just get a day. They both work real hard and they both get real stressed out. He said, I tell you what, Dwayne, and it was hunting season at the time. And he said, I tell you what, let's just go hunting. I know a guy who's got a farm and he'll let us go. And let's just, me and you, get away for the day and just kind of let it all go and just forget about all the cares of the world and everything that's going on. We'll just go. We'll kill us some birds and have a great time, just me and you out in the field. And so they went and, having a great day. They pull up to the farmer that Jim has known for a long time, and he said, well, let me just run up on the porch and see if it's okay. We can hunt here and it'll be a great day. Let me just run up here and make sure everything's okay. And so he went up to the door, knocked on the door. The old farmer answered the door and said, Jim, great to see you. Man, I've been a long time. I tell you what, it's great to have you. What can I do for you? He said, well, got this new guy in town. He works at the hospital. He's real stressed out. I just want to bring him out. We're going to do some dove hunting on the property today. Is that okay? Oh, sure. No problem. Enjoy yourself. Have a great day. I hope it works. I hope you get work out all the stress and just forget about all that work and just enjoy nature and have a great day. But I tell you, would you do me one favor? Jim says, anything. I'll do anything for you. So, well, I got this old mule that is down and it's old. And would you shoot it for me while you're here? Would you just kill this mule for me while I'm here? It's been in the family for, years, like 20 some years old, and it's just sick, and I just need you to put it out of its misery. I've been needing to do it for a long time, and I just can't bring myself to do this. Would you do that for me? He said, no problem. Well, if you know Jim, he can't let any time to pull a joke on somebody's going to do it. So he walks back to the truck and he's all mad looking, and Dwayne says, well, Jim, what's wrong? And he said, well, you know what that old boy said to me? He said he hadn't seen me in so long. I wasn't welcome here. And the last thing he was going to do was let two old Church of Christ boys hunt on his property for us to get out of here. Dwayne says, all right, fine, let's just go. Because Dwayne's, he's a nice guy. He's a pacifist and all. But Jim says, you know what? I'm not going to let him say that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shoot his mule. Dwayne says, don't do it, Jim. Don't. That's not the thing to do. Don't do that. He says, no, I'm doing it. He took his gun, cocked it, went up to it, just put that gun right between that mule's eyes, and bam, dropped it with one shot. And just heard, and he was just couldn't hold it any longer. He turned around to pull the joke, and he hears, bam, bam, and Dwayne's running, says, I got two of his cows, and let's get out of here. But it's always great to have people make you feel welcome, take care of you. And that's what Highland Hills has been for me and my family. And y'all asked Jim and Dwayne about that story at lunch. And if you believe that's true, then I've got some property to sell you. Yeah, it was only one cow, that's right. He's not that good a shot. But you know, it's great to feel, it's great to feel welcome. It's great to feel taken care of. And you know, and a lot of times, maybe we don't get that. Maybe we don't get that even from a church or from a family or even from you know, from our circumstance in life. But you know where we're taken care of? We're taken care of in God. I mean, we're made to feel welcome and we're made to feel special and we're made to feel like we belong if we will take Him up on the offer that He gives us. If we will take Him up, and we've been looking at this idea of I, God, and we're following along the my trusty sidekick, the iPod, the little go anywhere, holds all kinds of information, personal music and video device, and I just keep it right there in my pocket. And you know, and if we follow along with it, we take God up on His offer to come near to Him. If we will come near to God, He will come near to us. He will make us feel special. You know, there's the reality is that we suffer from the anxiety of separation. So we long for a connection. We were made. Genesis 1 and 26 tells us that we were made to have an intimate community. God says, let us make man in our image. Go hit it. Yeah. Let us make man in our image. Let us, there's community, there is a relationship there. And God designed us, He empowered us to have that very relationship. And if we take Him up on the offer to come near to Him, and He will come near to us, He bridges that gap of separation. God has made Himself available to us. He's made Himself available. The Bible says in John chapter 1 in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling place among us. He's not distant and aloof and far off. He's here and He is available. Just like with this little guy right here, I don't have to wait for my favorite song to come on the radio anymore. I don't have to do, all I have to do is put it in this and I can listen to it over and over and over again. And it never wears out. You know, used to with a tape or an album, remember those things? They would get worn out and they wouldn't work anymore. It never wears out. That the 50 millionth time you listen to an MP3 song, digital quality and clarity, it's just as crisp and as clear as the first time. You don't have to wait. God is available. And this little guy, it goes everywhere. You see, He's portable. He's the go-anywhere God. If we want to feel special and connected and with God and comfortable and all of the things that we long for, then all we have to do is plug in to I, God, little I, big God. And He's there for us. He goes anywhere. In Psalm 139, he says, you've searched me and you know me. Where can I go? If I go to the depths of the sea, oh, there you are. If I go to the heights of the mountains, there you are. Wherever we are, God goes there. We find Him in all the places we find ourselves. But the problem is that no two of us are alike. We're all very different. We're all strangely unique, these people we are. Each one of us has our own quirks and idiosyncrasies and faults and fears. Each one of us have different interests and issues. We all are not the same, you and I. So how does God relate to us? How does He connect and be available and go anywhere when we're all different places and we all have different circumstances, we all have different experiences? Certainly, one size does not fit all. One life does not fit all, but one God does. You see, because today I want to talk about I, God, individuality. You see, when you get one of these things right here, there was a, they look very similar. You can get the black ones or the white ones or the green ones or whatever, and they all look pretty much all the same. But when you plug into this, it's very different. It's very different what's on these, you know, and that's one of the big questions now when you're interviewing a celebrity or an athlete or whatever. Hey, what's on your iPod? You know why? Because it speaks to the individuality of that person. If you listen to my iPod, well, you're going to find some Cademan's Call. You're going to find some Third Day. You're going to find some Bob Seger. You might even, you know, you might find some Creedence Clearwater Revival on here. But, you know, guess what? I've taken Carson Hayes' iPod and listened to it on a mission trip. And you know what he's got on there? He's got composers I can't even pronounce. Looks the exact same, and he's listening to Chopin and Mozart and, give me another one. Beethoven, exactly. It's different. And because that relates to where he is, and each one of them is different. I'll go back and get JD's or anybody. I'm looking around for somebody that I know's got an iPod. You know, if I get your iPod or, you know, RJ's and listen, it's all going to be different, because what speaks to me doesn't speak to you. What I'm going through, if I'm having a day where I need to be lifted up, you might be having a day where you need to be related to in a different way. And it's different. But God, in His bigness, in His greatness, He relates to us all where we are. He's individual. Some of us are dealing with death and sickness. Some of us might be dealing with money problems and issues of that nature. Some of us might have relationship problems. Some of us might have a spouse that we're having trouble relating to or getting along with, or a relationship that is broken and needs to be fixed. Others might be dealing with oppression of some kind in their life where they need to be delivered, whether it's spiritual or physical or financial. There might be some type of war being waged. Whatever that is, some people might be just devoured by besetting sin. My God is individual, and He is personal, and we didn't know Him as such. Maybe you don't have enough of whatever it is. Maybe as you come near to God, maybe your experience is that you just don't have enough. You're always wanting a better job, to have more money, or maybe you need more to eat, or you know, a bigger house. Maybe you just, whatever it is, maybe you just don't feel enough love. Maybe whatever your situation, maybe you just don't have enough. This morning, I want you to know Jehovah Jireh, our Lord, will provide. Whatever it is that you need in your life, the Scripture talks about Jehovah Jireh, our Lord provides. In Genesis chapter 22 and 14, we have Abraham naming God this. He takes Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him, to give all that he has longed for, all that he has, his only son, to sacrifice him and give him to the Lord. And you know the story, if you've read it, where he is stopped. He does not kill his son, and he looks over, but there has to have a sacrifice. He looks over, and there in the thicket is a ram caught. And he says, right then, this place, I know Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide whatever it is. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, we have Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount talking about, do not worry because you want food or clothing or shelter. All of these things are necessary, yes, but God will take care of even the least, the sparrows, the most worthless animal, a bird that, you know, there's everywhere. God knows each one of them. Don't you think He knows each one of us? Whatever it is that we need, our God, Jehovah Jireh, will provide. But it takes trust. It takes that trust of knowing that, God, I will walk up this mountain with what's most dear to me, what I most depend on in my life, and I will lay it on your altar, knowing that you will provide. I will not seek my own understanding. I will not seek my own ability to provide for myself. I will be filled with the Spirit and no longer filled with the world. I will seek you to provide for me. Maybe you need inspiration. Maybe you're fighting fights, or maybe you've got issues that need to be resolved. Maybe you just need to be inspired in your life to take on a task, or to be motivated to move in a direction that God is calling you. Maybe there's fear that's holding you back from a ministry that you want to do, or maybe there's fear that's holding you back from a life change that you know you need to make, from a relationship that you know you need to start, or a job that you know you need to take. You need to know Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is the cause under which I march. He is my inspiration. He is the one that gets me up in the morning and leads me through my day. In Exodus 17 and 15, we have the story of God's people. They just come out of slavery. They're not warriors. They're slaves. They have no weapons. They have farm implements. And they come up against a warring group of people in the Amalekites at Rephidim. And Moses stands on the mountain with his hands raised and in prayer to God so long that his hands get tired. And Aaron and Hur, they go up and they hold his hands up. And the Israelites, a non-warring nation, rout the Amalekites in the valley at Rephidim because God was with them. And there Moses said, "This day we know Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And we will fight. We will not be afraid. We will go where he sends. We will have him before us, and he will fight in our place. He is our banner." Are there fights that need to be fought? Are there fronts that need to be advanced in your life? Are there things that you're dealing with that you just don't have the inspiration to go on? You know, I love going to high school football games. One of the things I love is looking around at all the signs that are made. And you know, one of my favorite parts of the high school football game, it's the very beginning. You know, when they get that, they stretch that banner across, and there's that message on there, whether it's, you know, "We're going to kill you," or "We're going to stomp on you," or "Our team's better than your team," or "My dad's smarter than your dad." Whatever that sign says, and those kids are excited about it. And they get all geared up and they've got that banner out there and they just run right through it. Oh, don't you want to know a God who inspires that kind of excitement, that kind of motivation, who inspires us out of bed to run with that banner saying, "There is nothing that will stop me because I know Jehovah Nissi and the Lord is my banner." Maybe you're already at war. Maybe there is oppression taking place. Maybe there's already enough turmoil. Maybe there's more turmoil than you know how to deal with. Maybe you need to know Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my peace. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. That's what Gideon says after he is called, after he is told by the Lord to go. I mean, think about this right here. God's people have been at war so much to the point that they have given up. And here is a man who is hiding in a wine press so that his enemies don't come and take his food. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. He's hiding from them. I mean, they've been oppressed and at war for so long. They just want to stay under the radar. Can't we just eat without these people coming and taking our food? I mean, we're going to have a great meal today. Praise God that we can do this without anyone, without the threat of anybody coming in here and clearing the table and taking it away from us. That's what these people are dealing with. And Gideon gets a call from God and he says, God tells him to tear down the altar to Baal, tear down the Asherah poles and sacrifice these bulls that they had, and sacrifice them to the Lord. And so Gideon does that. He's still afraid. He does it at night so nobody catches him. But then in Judges chapter 6 and 24, God says, "I'm going to rout these people before you. I'm going to drive them out of your land. You, Gideon, the smallest person in your family, and among the smallest family that can't really defend themselves, you are going to be my mighty warrior, my instrument of battle. And before one sword is raised, before one battle is fought," in Judges 6 and 24, Gideon says, "I know Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace." Not one battle had been fought yet, but he knows that God is bringing some peace up in here. You see, God's people have been at war for so long. There have been wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of things. There have been oppression and the threat of oppression, and it's going to come and it's going to be worse than it's ever been, and we're going to kill you and all your cattle and everything else. And God's people were sick and tired. Are you sick and tired of the battles that are being waged? Are you tired of it all? You need to know Jehovah Shalom, the God who is peace. See, in Matthew 10 and 34, Jesus says, "Don't be mistaken. I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword." See, we know that there are battles being fought all over the world right now. And if you've been over to a place where war is being fought, if you have loved ones right now in harm's way in a battle, in a place where war is taking place, if you... if you work somewhere right now where it's impossible for you to speak the name of Jesus because of the oppression that takes place there, if you're tired of the battle, then you have to know that there is going to come a day when all of the enemies of the true and living God will bow before Him, because He does not accommodate, He brings peace. See, He is not the the concession bringer, but the peace bringer. You're tired of war. You're tired of all the battles being fought and all of the oppression that takes place. Then I invite you to know Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Are you alone? Are you wondering, where is God? Where is everybody? Or is there a relationship that you're lacking? This morning I would invite you to know Jehovah Shammah. In Ezekiel 48 and 35, the prophecy is taking place about the city of God and about how He was going to restore His people. And he goes through and he talks about the size of the gates and what the walls would look like and all of these things that are going to take place and how it's going to look and everything else. And when he talks about how God's people will be renewed and how God's people will be steadfast, and he talks about the place where God's people are, and he says, and that will be called, that city will be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Do you feel alone? Do you feel like you could really use a friend or a relationship that gets you? Well, see, the Lord is there. In Matthew 28, He tells us He will be where He says He will be. Remember that? Remember in God goes anywhere, the portability, He will be where He says He will be, in His will. He will be right there in the middle of His will. He says, go where I send you and I will be with you always. He will also be where you think He's not. Remember all of the examples of people in history of God's people being oppressed and being imprisoned, whether it be Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all of those who were taken advantage of because of their desire and their willingness to practice their faith. And in all of those places, where you think God isn't, when circumstances seem as though God cannot be any further from this place, whether it's a den of lions or a fiery furnace, whether it's a desert of Midian or the desert of Amalek, wherever that is, where God seems like He's not, you need to know Jehovah Shammah, because He is there. And even where we think He would not be caught dead, in the middle of our lowest point, in the middle of our sin, He is there calling us out of that, empowering us to live holy because He is holy. Which brings me to my last. What do you struggle with? Are there places in your life that you feel like God cannot meet you there? What do you struggle with? Do you struggle with, maybe you feel like you've never really measured up, that you've never really been good enough, that you've never really been holy enough, that maybe church is not the place for you, or man, all of those people, look at them, they look so good and so pious, and I know they get everything right and they never do the things that I do. I mean, you know, they don't know what I thought about on the way over here this morning. You feel like you just can never do enough right, like you can never be good enough. You don't fit in all the churchy places. You question your salvation. Well, this morning, I just want to tell you about Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is my righteousness. See the beauty of the individuality of our God, where He meets us where we are personally, where I am and where you are, is that I no longer have to live up to the perfection that it takes to be in His presence, because God is my righteousness. Romans chapter 3, 21 through 22. Paul talks about a righteousness apart from the law. He talks about in verse 22 that we have a righteousness based on faith in Jesus Christ. Well, you know what that actually says? Faith in Jesus Christ is really a bad translation. Not necessarily wrong, but it's more correct to say we have a righteousness based on the faithfulness of Christ, because Christ accomplished it. Because he did it, because it was finished based on his perfection, his joy and willingness to embrace the cross, because he did all of the work necessary. Now I can accept God is my righteousness. I no longer have to worry about I don't live up to it, about my salvation is not secure, about maybe I didn't do enough, because I can never do enough. I don't have to do enough. Jehovah God is my righteousness. When I understand that, when I get that He is my righteousness, I stand before Him with the righteousness that He perfected, then I'm free to live in His presence with all that that entails. I'm free to live with the joy that He talks about in His Word. I'm free to live with the peace that He brings. I'm free to live with the motivation to go out and to do what it is He's called me to do, because I'm not worried about getting it wrong. You see, our fear paralyzes us, but when we understand God is our righteousness, then we can do what He's called us to do in His power, in His strength, in His perfection. This morning, you need to know that you don't measure up. And I don't measure up. The whole lousy place doesn't measure up. Praise God, Jesus Christ measured up to the standard. It's necessary for the salvation, for the connection that we all want to have. We need to know Jehovah to Sid Canu. God is my righteousness. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven is truly good news. The fact of the matter is that the good news of the gospel starts. The good news with the gospel starts with a good God. With a God whose goodness stretches beyond our ability to imagine that sight is even possible that far. The good news of the gospel is about the good news of our God. About the connection that He, absolutely, we want to be with God. Does that surprise you? But you know what the shock is? That He wants to be with us more than we want to be with Him. The fact is that He wants that connection. He makes Himself available. And He goes where we are, and He relates to us where we are in the circumstances that we experience. And a God who's bigger than any circumstance we find ourselves in, but He is not too big to be personal. He is the God of all, but He is our individual God. He isn't a cookie cutter. He meets us where we are, and He covers all of these same issues. Whatever you need, whatever circumstance you're at, whatever place in life, whatever desire you have, our God is able to accommodate. The question is, will you allow Him to do so? This morning, the gospel call is this. Will you allow God to change your life forever? To give you all of the things that it is that you long for in your life? To connect with the eternal power of the universe who created you and is calling you to Him? To be available to a God who is available right back to you and before we ever thought about it? And to go in the places that He sends and allow Him to affect and to change and to transform all of those individual needs that we have this morning. If you want to confess Christ, if you've heard about a God this morning that you want to know that you do not yet have in your life, if you've heard something that says, you know what, that's what I need. I need the God of peace. I need the God who is my righteousness. You know what? I need the God who sets the relationships in my life straight. And you can confess His name, be baptized, have your sins washed away, and live free, live new, and live eternally. The choice is yours as together we stand and as we sing.